In keeping with the the theme of baptism, I chose this morning a reading from Philippians chapter 3. Paul is talking about being a very good Hebrew. And being a very good Hebrew, he did all the things he wanted to do and needed to do and felt very justified, but then he met the Lord. And by opening himself up to Christ, his whole life changed. And I'd like to use that as a backdrop for my message this morning. This from chapter 3. I have every reason to boast, for I am a perfect Jew, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet wherever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in all things, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of eternal life, the call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. I want to begin this with a little story about baptism. There was a baptism service going on down by the river, and all the people were gathered there, and they were singing hymns. Shall we gather at the river, amazing grace, in the waters of baptism? All the hymns that were very familiar to the community. And a whole crowd of people had gathered, and alongside of them came a man who was coming from town, going by the riverbank, who had been really spending the whole day drinking in a bar. And he stumbled over to the group in curiosity. And he remembered some of the songs from when he was a kid, and so he joined in the hymns. And there was a line going into the water where the preacher was. And so he got in the line and continued to sing Amazing Grace. And when he got to the minister grabbed him by the head and plunged him under the water and pulled him back up and said, did you find Jesus? And he said, no. He plunges him back down in the water, lets him down there a little bit longer, pulls him back out. Have you found Jesus? And he said, no. He plunges him back down in the water and pulls him back up, and he can hardly breathe. And he says, have you found Jesus? He says, are you sure this is where he fell in? We, all of us, I think, want to live a meaningful life. And having been with a lot of people over the years, the question about what my life has meant is something that passes our minds, especially when we find ourselves in a hospital or in a funeral home over somebody we love. What does my life really mean? What has it meant? Most of us, I think, we set out to live meaningful days. We know what we need to do. We have a sense of what is good. We know how to deal with each other. We've managed through our education to come to some grasp of social order. And all of us give it our best shot every day. It's unfair to say that we measure everybody by the same yardstick when we talk about meaningful life. But there's something we all have in common about living a meaningful life. Obviously, I'm the person who tries to figure out if my life has meaning. And I review where I've been, what I have done, perhaps the people I have encountered, the changes, the challenges, the successes, the failures, all the variations that life throws at us, and from that place decide whether or not my life was meaningful. There's a new commercial on television, not a commercial, but it was part of the news story, of a nurse who spent, as a young woman, working with babies and little kids. And she, as a young nurse, was very dedicated for 30-some years as a nurse, having had a lot of experience in that area. And now that she was older, she found herself a patient. She suffers badly from rheumatoid arthritis, and so she was going in for testing. And the young woman who came in looked familiar, but she didn't really know who she was. And come to find out, 30 years before, she and the little girl were on the front page of a news article about nursing care and miraculous things happening for a child who did not have a great prognosis. And she realized that this nurse was the little girl. And the little girl realized that this was she who took care of her for a lot of years while she went through her struggles finding health. And somebody asked her if she thought her life was meaningful, and she asked the question of herself, and she said, "When I saw that and had that experience, I realized that my life did have meaning." The truth is, I hinted at this before, all of us grow up in a story. We are born into a story. Moms and dads have history. Parents, godparents, family members, extended grandparents, aunts, uncles, all who make up the world of a child have story. And because of exposure, because of teaching, because of modeling, because of the example that people give as adults, a child grows into that story. That is why it's so interesting when we look at children who probably are 11, 12 years old, you can see an awful lot of what is happening, has happened in the family by what you see in the child. Good and maybe challenging. The reality is we have a positive, powerful effect on little people, even though they can't respond and say, "Thank you. That was a wonderful thing you just taught me." These children today are walking into a story. And it's a story that can certainly give flavor and character to the quality of life that they will have. Those of us who grew up in church, those of us who have a religious background, recognize, whether we participate in church or not, we recognize certain values that are not necessarily human qualities. The virtues, what we call the virtues that invite us to step outside of ourselves and put ourselves in someone else's place and make a response and care and service, is not something necessarily that we learned by our humanity. We learn by the example who live a holiness of life, believers or not. People who are able to celebrate the values of real, sacred humanity. The story that Parker and Chelsea who are now leaving this morning, along with Daddy Vikrist. The story that you're going to be living is a story that you and I are going to do on their behalf. We are going to live it in such a way that they too will somehow grab hold of the values and the importance of what it means to be a human being. But a very special kind of human being. One that has a sense of the sacred. Now, the sacred covers a lot of territory. I don't use the word God because the word God comes with a lot of baggage. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. So stay away from the idea of God. Sacredness. That there's something sacred about each one of us. And that is nothing that we earn. That is nothing that somehow we can work at becoming. It is our state of being. We are sacred by our birth, by being born into a humanity that is bonded and fused with the divinity of God or the Holy One. That's unbreakable. We who call ourselves Christians don't necessarily all agree on what being a Christian means. We certainly don't agree on how to read the Bible. We certainly don't agree on how we worship. We don't agree at all on some of the practices that are developing as Christianity continues to expand. We all have our own ideas about how ecumenical we should or could be, how welcoming we are of those who don't live the way we do. We all have our categories. But the one thing that could bring us together is the realization that humanity itself, humanity, is sacred because it speaks, it reveals the real presence of what matters. Without definitions and categories, what really matters? And as we look around our world, brothers and sisters, what really matters? Does it matter that we have millions of dollars? Does it matter that people around the world are suffering in inhumane conditions? Does it matter that our children go to schools that are safe, that are teaching them the values that we hold dear? Does it matter that people who believe are being massacred by those who don't accept their belief? Does it matter a whole lot if the human race is somehow being compromised, not just in small parts of the world, but around the globe? Because of the qualities of environment, of changes, of byproducts of technology, of all those things that put us a little bit closer to a danger point. Does it matter that every living person has dignity? Does it matter that every living person should have at least what survival requires? Does it matter if young people learn that being a bully is not acceptable behavior? Does it matter that I, who call myself a Christian, sometimes lose my focus and maybe give the worst kind of example by something I say or some behavior or action or something I refuse to give or be to another human person? Does it matter that the world looks at you and me and recognizes someone special does it matter that we look at anyone and don't recognize their specialness? Living in the context of a story gives us a foundation, gives us a platform from which we can continue to grow beyond the levels of our mothers and fathers and what they were able to do, to become something greater, to go deeper into reality, to profoundly influence the world we touch. Maybe not curing all the diseases, but maybe holding a hand out to somebody who really needs a hand. Seems to me it does matter. In fact, I dare say I stand here like Paul and say, you know, so much of the things in life that we worry about, when all is said and done, talking about the meaning of life, lots of things don't really matter. But as I am aging, I'm realizing what does matter, what does give meaning to life, is what moves me deep down inside to find the courage to seek the truth, the courage to go beyond my own judgments and prejudices, the wisdom to draw from my life experience, to tutor or to mentor someone else whose life may be so young and inexperienced. It does matter. It matters a whole lot how we touch the world. It matters so much that in saying that we are all sacred to begin with, we announce, as Jesus revealed, that God is no further, the divine is no further away than right inside each one of us. And whether it's enhanced by religious practice or not, whether you ever read a verse of the Bible, doing and becoming what God would like us to do and be is something that is for all of us. By our very birth, it is there. And I close with this very simple, short quote from Rabbi Abraham Heschel, marvelous Jewish scholar. I printed it here so you could take it home. Very simple. He says, just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. May we live as people blessed with the holy and make that the gift we give to the world we touch. Amen.